Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Welcome to Disrupt Radio, where we take a look at business and technology innovations that are disrupting current markets. Tune in each Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central on DisruptRadio.com for exciting new episodes, or you can download Disrupt Radio on demand on iTunes. Now, here's your host, Cynthia Neville.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we are excited about this brand new show. Yes, we're doing it on a different day. Today, we're going to have a four-part series running on Saturday morning. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to the show. You can also watch the show for the four-part series on Google Hangout. This is really exciting. Bear with us as we work through the technology tech issues, but we should be up and live and broadcasting live on YouTube and Google Hangout this morning. So thanks again for joining us. Of course, I'm your host, Cynthia Nevels with Disrupt Radio. If you have questions today, you can give us a call at 877-455-6681. Again, that's 877-455-6681. Today's show is brought to you by Comerica Bank. We really appreciate all of our sponsors who've supported us over the last 6 to 8 months as we go around the state of Texas talking about crowdfunding. You can register for our upcoming crowdfunding event, which is happening on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, yay, at Cafe Commerce in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit thinkcrowdfund.com to learn more. Once again, we have a four-part series. We're starting off with introducing the top 10 tips that we can provide to you as it relates to the equity crowdfunding rules and regulations that were recently passed back in November 2014. We're just going to touch on some really important points, and we have a super special guest. But before I introduce Kevin Vela to you, I want to introduce my co-host for this special occasion as well. I have Vincent Petrescu, who is the founder and CEO of True Crowd. True Crowd is one of the Texas's pre-approved or approved crowdfunding portals here in Texas. Vincent, I butchered your last name. Pardon me, but Vincent, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Vincent, tell me a little bit about you and your background and introduce True Crowd to us, if you would.
Sure. I'm a CPA, and during my career, I talked to lots of people, and I thought lots of ideas go to waste. Good ideas, and people just don't have the money. To give it a try. I have good connections with banks, and at one point I even tried for myself. Another startup, and they said, this is a good idea, but as a bank, we are not in this business. We cannot have this risk. It's not what we do. I started, as many others, having startups. Being able to sell securities online is great. As you know, SEC is kind of slow with their process. So Texas was there with their regulations, and let's do this and help startups sell securities online.
And that's how you found it, True Crowd. TrueCrowd.com is one of the first of the six, if my memory serves, approved equity crowdfunding portals here in Texas. And we'll talk about why we stress the Texas portal because of the new regulations. But before we do that, I want to introduce Kevin Vela. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on this, both the Hangout as well as on the radio show. We wanted to have you because you've been a leader in this space helping startups. You're known as the startup attorney here in Texas, and you are helping a number of startups raise capital and do it the right way. Thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about your practice and what you do, Kevin.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. So my firm focuses on startups and small businesses, and we've been very active in the startup space for 5 or 6 years now. We represent hundreds of startups across the world, but predominantly those in Texas. Very excited about crowdfunding. We've been following crowdfunding very closely since the Jobs Act was announced in 2012, and as you know, quite a struggle to get pushed at the federal level. It's been neat to watch Texas kind of take the bull by the horns and get ahead of all of it when it passed its own crowdfunding rules. So since those crowdfunding rules have been passed, we've been monitoring closely all the portals that have been approved by the State Securities Board, including TrueCrowd. And this is a legitimate fundraising opportunity that we are educating our clients about at this point in time.
I'm going to ask you a question about your clients. When they talk to you or come to you and ask about the funding options, fundraising options, when you mention crowdfunding, what's their initial reaction? Or if they bring up the topic themselves, is it confusion? Is it tell me a little bit about what it is that they are saying to you when they come to you about fundraising.
You know, I think at this point in time, most of them are understanding what it is or at least heard about it. So they usually bring it to me and say, hey, is this a real option? How do we do this? There's been so much information out there. I think we've got to give a lot of credit to the donation-based sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter that have raised a lot of awareness about crowdfunding. So most of the time when clients come to me, they already have a general understanding of it. And I believe the State Securities Board and then all the other literature that's been written about it, mostly online, is very informational and easy to follow. We've tried to write about it a lot here. There's lots of other great attorneys and leaders in the industry that get people following you and learning about it from you or learning about it from the registered portals. So the information's out there. People are starting to understand it. I think it's still the unknown is how do we actually implement it and what are the effects afterwards. I think we'll talk about that a little today.
We will. So, Vincent, tell us a little bit about the portals. Let's start there. Let's talk about the portal's responsibility in this space and what you guys are required to do as a platform.
As a platform, we make sure that the startups that we are going to list, they are in compliance with the TSSB rules and regulations. It's our philosophy, we let the crowds to decide. So as long as the startups goes to the, let's say, minimum requirements imposed by TSSB, everything is good. We list them. And another goal of ours is to make equity crowdfunding not expensive. That's the whole point, because some people may have access to money, but in a very expensive way. From a startup point of view, there are a few things. They need a business plan, of course. They need to be a Texas-formed company. And from there, they have to fill out some disclosure documents. All is really spelled out, nice spelled out in a TSSB website. And we even created a template for them. For the issuers, and pretty much that's it, just to list them, because, of course, they have to engage their friends, their social networks, and so on. But to get started, it's the process should be is kind of simple.
Wonderful. And so for our guests, I'm going to share with them that TSSB stands for Texas State Securities Board. And this is the agency that oversees the regulations and works to ensure that the investors are protected in this ecosystem. Wonderful. And so people can find TrueCrowd at TrueCrowd Texas, or what's the exact domain name that people in Texas would need to use?
Yes, TrueCrowd.com. So if they go to TrueCrowd.com, it's good. If they go Texas.TrueCrowd.com, it's good too. But for simplicity, TrueCrowd.com is good.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, Kevin, let's talk about some really important things that issuers should be paying attention to, these small businesses, when as it relates to selling their shares, meaning selling ownership in their company online. What are some things that they should think about? And I'm talking about the pre-preparation, how do they get their books in order, whatever it is that you're going to advise them before they even start to think about going to the portal.
So I think there's a couple of key things that you want to be aware of if you're an issuer. An issuer is a fancy word for a company selling security. Security is a fancy word for equity in your company. Recognize whether you're issuing debt or equity. Again, equity is just selling a percentage of ownership in your company. You're going to be considered an issuer under just about any securities type law. So the two things are, one, you have to be domiciled in Texas. The company has to be a Texas company. Now, this doesn't mean that if you have a company in another state, that you can't form a new company in Texas and use that new company in Texas. The laws are very clear about this. But the actual issuer has to be domiciled in Texas. Moreover, most of the business activity of the issuer has to be in Texas. The number is 80% of your revenues. So 80% of your revenues has to be derived in Texas. Now, if you're a startup, you probably don't have any revenues, but you got to make sure you're going to generate a significant part of your revenues in Texas. Okay, so the first one is being domiciled in Texas. The second point is the bad actor rule. You can't have someone who's a principal and officer who has some sort of fraud or security violation in their history.
Yes.
Probably not a big deal for most people, but just be careful about that. You know, if you one of your founders has had some run-ins with security laws in the past, you're going to want to go check with an attorney to make sure that that person is not going to be actively involved in the business, or make sure that person's not going to lose your exemption for registering as an issuer in Texas. Then there's going to be some ongoing learning requirements, and I think these are all very clearly laid out on the State Securities Board's website. But really, getting going is not that difficult. The next step would be, well, let's make sure we're using a registered Texas crowdfunding portal. And you can find the list of those on the State Security Board website. But really, as an issuer, as long as you meet the domicile question in Texas, or the domicile requirements in Texas, and you don't have any bad actors, and then you're using a registered portal, the portal will be the one who will make sure that you're compliant, because your offering is going to have to only be limited investors in Texas. Unaccredited investors can only invest up to $5,000 in a single offering. But the portal will be helping you maintain that. Now, this is a question that, I don't know, let's just say an issue in Texas and someone invests $6,000. Somehow the portal misses it, somehow you miss it. This is an example of a question that we don't know what happens. I don't know if the State Securities Board only penalizes the portal, penalizes only the issuer, or penalizes both. My guess is that at that point in time, both would be viable, unless the issuer was committing some sort of fraud and hiding it from the portal, then the portal might have an exemption or might have a defense there. So you're going to have to monitor things. Don't just think because you're using a registered portal that everything's okay. When your portal is going to double-check the licenses or some sort of state issued ID to verify that your investors are from Texas, your issuer is going to take reasonable steps to ensure that people are not investing more than $5,000 if they're an unaccredited investor. But that doesn't remove the liability from you as well. To be honest with you, Cynthia, we've read the rules very, very carefully. I don't think they're that hard to follow. I'm very encouraged by the way that they were laid out, by how basic they are, how simple and straightforward they are. In having facilitated upwards of 100 exempt private offerings over the last couple of years, doing an offering through crowdfunding is going to be easier than it has been relying on other exemptions in the past.
All excellent points. Vincent, I want to talk to you about the verification or validation of the non-accredited investor in ensuring that you are getting people who are domiciled in Texas as well from the investor standpoint? What are you guys doing to ensure that?
So what we do, we use technology, of course. And there are certain, I would say, nice systems. We ask the information, driving license, social security number, and behind, we check to see if they have Texas addresses, of course. Then second, we have a series of knowledge-based authentication questions, which each individual is asking some questions from his past that just that person will know. So we have that for two reasons. One, to authenticate the Texas residency, and second, to authenticate that the person who says that is not someone else. So, and those two processes are, I think, 100% accuracy. But if one person cannot, still they have Texas residency, so they are, you know, driving license, Texas, and social security number, Texas, I mean the address associated with social security, and still they do not answer those questions, those knowledge-based authentication, we ask them to upload a copy of their driving license and some kind of utility bill or tax bill, something like that. Mm-hmm. So we have, in case the automatic thing will fail, we still have a manual process that, you know, will kind of catch all things that if someone is missing the answers.
This is fabulous. So what I want to point out for the investors, for them to understand, there is a process for them to go through in order to invest in any of these Texas-based businesses. So they need to be prepared for that. It's not going to be Las Vegas, take your money and put it down on the table. You have to do some work beforehand to prove who you are, which I think is totally cool.
It's simple. So I don't think someone will take more than probably 10 minutes, even less than that, because they just type the answers, type the information, and that's it.
Fabulous. Less than 10 minutes. Okay, very good. So I want to also talk about another point before we move on, and that is, yes, I heard from the Texas State Securities Board, Kevin, that if there happens to be an investor that slips through the cracks who is not Texas-based and they invest their money into a campaign or into a business, or at least pledge their money in that campaign, that the campaign itself will be shut down. It stops immediately, and the money is returned, and then I believe that there's a six-month waiting period before they can relaunch their campaign again, if that is the case. So the onus is on the crowdfunding portal to do their best due diligence to ensure that that investor is Texas-based so that that doesn't happen to that campaigner or issuer.
Yeah, and to follow up on that point, what's going to happen is that if a non-Texas investor does go through the cracks, then per Section 33 of the state, you said the Texas Securities Act, the company will have the option of offering rescission, which is giving all the investors their money back, and that should help to limit the liability. You know, the question I think that pops up is what happens if an investor goes through great lengths to try and defraud the system, create the fake ID, create the fake utility bill? I think at some point in time, there's only so much that we can do. And if an individual investor wants to be a bad actor, and the portal took reasonable steps, has to comply with the law, and the issuer did as well, I don't see how the State Security Board is going to come down and negatively affect either the issuer or the portal. But I think that's going to be on a case-by-case basis. And this is also part of the hesitation with crowdfunding, because there's a lot of things that have to be worked out. And in a couple of years, we'll have examples of all these things, and we'll have much clearer interpretations of the law, so we'll know exactly what can and can't be done. But in my mind, that would dissuade me from encouraging a portal to follow the laws or an issuer to go ahead and do crowdfunding. You know, we can't account for 100% of the population, but I think in general we're in a great spot.
I think so, too. I want to ask a question, and it just popped into my head as it relates to bad actors. You may know the answer. We may have to investigate or research it. But when we talk about bad actors, is it that the law only prohibits those who have had securities fraud potentially in the past? Is it that no other criminal charges or other background challenges will impact or be labeled as a bad actor? I was curious about that.
You know, don't quote me on this, but my understanding is that it's fraud or security. I mean, if someone has a separate criminal history, you know, we're all about giving people second chances, that shouldn't affect their ability to be an issuer or to be an investor.
That is good to know. Okay, wonderful. Let's talk about now moving forward in raising the capital. What is it that they need to know about shares and allocating shares and share price? Do you go that deep into helping these issuers figure that part out as well, Kevin?
Well, you know, from the issuer perspective, absolutely. And I think you're going to have a good startup attorney to help you determine those things. There's some pretty common terms or offering provision that you see in small private offerings. You know, most of these things are going to be less than $1 million raised. I would say typically you're going to issue 10 million shares or 10 million units if you're offering under an LLC. Your valuation, and you can go out and get higher valuation services, and I think TrueCrowd might be offering something like that. We'll let Vincent talk about it. But that really needs to be a conversation between the founders or investors and their attorney. Every deal is going to be different. However, after a couple of years, we've got so many of these things in place, I think we'll start to understand what reasonable valuations are for a retail business or a technology business or a healthcare business, and the market will start to set the prices. So initially, I think we'll be relying on traditional exempt offerings that are not crowdfunding to help set valuations and offering terms, but I believe that in the future, the market will start to funneling down to like a standard set of defined terms.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Vincent, talk to us about your valuation services that TrueCrowd offers.
In fact, we do not offer directly, but we have partners that provide the valuation services for startups. One is Zacks Research. They're out of Chicago, and they have a crowdfunding division. And they are mostly, I think, we think they are better for up to like higher offerings because they charge upfront. And they are, let's say, handmade. It's not the software. They have an analyst that will talk to the top owner, and they will figure out from there. That's one. And second, we work with Equidem. They are from the Netherlands. They have a software-based solution, a lot cheaper. And we think they are good because they've been, not vetted, but somehow their methodology was signed off by KPMG, recognizing that the methodology, the software they created, it sounds and respects the valuation methodology. That is a lot cheaper. It's online software. And probably some issuers might want to try different options. They might try to see online. They might want to see security lawyers. They might want to talk to a CPA just for them to reach a comfort level and go from there.
This is fabulous. So, Vincent, that last company that you mentioned, can you say their name once again?
Equidem. Let me spell it for you.
Okay, very good. And I believe, okay, Equidem. Okay, got it. And this company, that's Equidem, this company could also be found on your resource part of your website. Is that correct?
Yes. Under the services page and under valuation tab, we have Zacks Research and Equidem.
Wonderful. Fabulous. Okay, thank you. All right, Kevin, we have about 3 minutes to now lead us through the we've raised the capital, we've posted our campaign, everything is found, and now we have our capital. What's next? What are our responsibilities after the raise?
Well, the first thing is to go out and build your business.
Yeah,
true. It's a successful business and trying to generate returns for your investors.
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you, where did my head notes? Let me just a sec.
Certainly. So what, while you're looking for those notes, you know, what, I'm glad you mentioned that this is the reason why the state of Texas really got involved in this fairly quickly is because of the economic development impact that this potentially could have on the state. I think it's whether it is the increase in job opportunities and also bringing funding into small, mid-sized mom-and-pop and also your high-growth businesses in the state of Texas. They really saw that this could change the dynamics as it relates to economic development in the state.
That's correct.
So what's going to happen is once you raise the money, there's an ongoing reporting requirement. Technology should be able to capture and handle all of this. One of the concerns of crowdfunding is that you might have hundreds or even thousands of investors, and that can be very expensive from a kind of an operational standpoint to get information out to them, or to get their consent for shareholder meetings or resolutions of the shareholders. However, I mean, when we leveraging technology, I'd be curious to hear how what Vincent has to say about this, the partners are going to use, or what TrueCloud is going to do. But leveraging technology, you should be able to get out and send that information to your shareholders by email or through the portal. The information requirements are not that onerous. And honestly, they're less than what I would encourage any of our clients to be sharing with their investors on a regular basis anyway. So our clients are going to go out and raise money. We're encouraging them to go above and beyond what the crowdfunding rules and the Texas portal rules require. But if you're just meeting the rules, then that will be a basic amount of information that you're passing on to your investors. However, it should be very easy to do that. You should be always providing a lot of information to your investors to keep them apprised of what's going on. Hopefully it's good news. Bad news, you never want to surprise anyone.
I agree. Vincent, you also will allow this through your portal, that communication with the investors?
Yes, because all the information is there anyway. So we have all the information that each investor has an account with us. So when the issuer, post-issuance, they will have communication, they can send to that channel, and the investors will get them. So that's a nice feature that we have.
I think this is good for investors, too, because we want to get investors used to being active in the process, being a participant, but also receiving the email either through the portal by accessing the portal or through email. And most of our clients, most of my clients, startup clients, that's the way they communicate with their investors these days anyway. I mean, the days of sending out physical reports or having huge meetings where everyone's coming to a single conference room, you're renting a hotel lobby or hotel boardroom to do it, it's just gone away. You can communicate over email like this. You can communicate through, you know, Google Chat and video conferences. And what it's really doing is increasing the frequency of information going out, which I believe is beneficial to the issuer and the investor.
I agree with that. I think that what we want to encourage investors to do is to actually pay attention, actually read that information when it arrives, not like your bank statement. Don't just toss it to the side and say, I'll read it later. Just stay involved and read the information. And if you don't understand it, know that there are resources available to explain what those reports mean. Of course, Texas State Securities Board has a division that's dedicated to investor education, and you can always either call them and or visit their website for their free training tools and materials and resources to help explain what the information means to you as an investor. So keep that in mind, and it's free on top of that as well.
It's the best part.
That's the best part, absolutely. Well, our time is almost up. We have 1 minute. I think that the information that you both have provided has been invaluable. Kevin, I really appreciate you. You're such a well-respected attorney here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and doing wonderful work with the startups. And, you know, by the way, Dallas is kicking butt when it comes to startups and new business and innovation. So you know, kudos to us, right?
We're very proud of that. I agree.
We are very proud of that. So thank you so much for joining us on this very first episode. And it went off without a hitch. I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
You're welcome. We're going to do this again next Saturday, Vincent. And thank you so much for sponsoring this and partnering with me on this. I believe that this information is invaluable. This is going to be available on demand on iTunes. It's also going to be available on YouTube. And we'll be sending out more information every week as it relates to Cowboys and crowdfunding and talking about equity crowdfunding in Texas. So thank you guys so much and have a wonderful Saturday afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.